Dirt and Sprague continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing randomly a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her under
on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. And what we like to call the Fan Sports Network. That's 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, YouTube. Good morning. Hello. Hope your commute's going all right. Hope your Friday morning is off to a decent start. Got a pretty exciting show today. We're talking a little college football. We got college football in the notes. We got one program calling out a head coach. Bill Orem's going to join us at 8 a.m. Mr. Move the Team himself. And Nick Krupke, Caitlin Clark Mania. And get his thoughts on the Eugene Regional and U-Sports ripping off every dad in America. He experiences it. I experience it. We will talk about it. But as we go on in the second hour, and we will have a lot to discuss here. Swag is bringing up our guest. Hopefully he gets a hold of him. He's one of those, sometimes you call him once, you don't get a hold of him. Call him twice, maybe. Third time, definitely. Hey, I got you, Doc. He's also a tanks guy. He's not like always a thanks guy. He does the tanks, which I find actually adorable. That's an adorable little trait about him. But we're awaiting Mike Doc Parker, the voice of Oregon State baseball, as the Beavs head down to what they call, not me, they, okay? They call it Goss South. Now, the most attended game is an Oregon State game in PK Park history. And as Dirt noted, I think it was on Tuesday's show, Oregon had to buy the GA tickets because they were terrified that Oregon State fans were going to gobble them up. Also, the price difference between Oregon State's game and the Oregon-Yale game seemed to be a little different on the secondary market, but the Eugene Regional first pitch is going to start at noon today, again, on ESPNU, ESPN+, a very unique situation. We don't always get the local regionals going on. We have these two programs, coincidentally, seemingly always make a regional, but it's very unique that we got Oregon State at Oregon, the right for one rival over the other to knock each other out. And so kind of excited about that one in the sense of there's going to be stakes here. Is it going to come down to Oregon, Oregon State? Are we going to be having an elimination game? Is one of these teams going to choke and we won't see the matchup whatsoever? Like, is Yale going to beat Oregon? Not like we haven't seen that before down in Eugene, Cal Poly, Utah Valley. Oregon State has not won a road regional, I believe I read, since 2007. So, like, that's been a hot minute for them on the road. Both teams great. Some people wondering if Oregon would have hosted a regional had they not canceled certain games. And Oregon State suffered with their kind of independent schedule not being as strong and not having, like, a conference title to play for. So, we'll see what happens, man. I'm super excited about it because it's nice to have something with an in-state rival. I know the football games got announced this week. And, look, I for all the poo-pooing, to use a term from earlier this week, that people do about the Oregon State, Oregon football stuff, I think there's a good amount of people that are just happy that it's going to get played. And so I don't think I speak for the masses. Most of the Oregon State fans I do talk to tell me they don't really care about that game anymore, and it doesn't have the same feel. I think Dirt's echoed some truth to that on the Oregon side from some Oregon fans. But you also got a lot of people that have been here for a long time with that game and do not have it as odd. Playing it, I think, in the start of the season is odd. And so that game has kind of fallen by the wayside in basketball. I mean, basketball hasn't, you know, Altman's had a pretty nice run. I know it's not as good lately, but he's a pretty consistent run. And your Oregon State with Wayne Tinkle had a couple moments, but largely it was not very good. So haven't had a lot of juice, I think, in the old rivalry. It's nice to know that we got Oregon State and Washington State, not to omit the Pac-12 brethren, going down to the Eugene Regional starting at noon. And Oregon State, Washington State will be the first game today. And then we'll have Oregon and Yale following that one. So we'll see what happens with both the teams as the first pitch, again, is at noon on ESPNU, ESPN+, or catch this man on the radio broadcast, the longtime voice of Oregon State Athletics, our good friend, Mike Doc Parker. Doc, good morning. How are we feeling today?
Well, feeling pretty good. I'm sorry about the glitches, gentlemen, and trying to get on the air with you, but it's nice to be on with you. And I heard you as I was driving the old-fashioned way, listening to 1080 The Fan in my car radio.
Yes.
I pull over in Junction City, so I'm sort of halfway. And I heard you speaking in terms of, well, does Doc ever get nostalgic? No, I don't. I did go to some baseball games at Howe Field before the program shut down when I was in my educational undergraduate years at the institution in Eugene. And I enjoyed going to ball games, but I saw more Beaver games because Big Jim Wilson, my broadcast partner in football, OSU Hall of Famer, who I'll be working with today on the broadcast from PK Park, Jimmy, was the younger brother of two of my good friends who I was going to school with at Oregon, and we would drive to Corvallis. I saw more college baseball games at Coleman Field watching Jim play than I did when Oregon had baseball before they shut it down after the 80-81 season. So no particular nostalgia for baseball other than thinking about Pat Casey getting his 1,000th win at PK Park when Mitchell Verberg struck out Ryne Nelson with the bases loaded to clinch the Pac-12 title in 2017. When I walk in there, that's the twinge of nostalgia I get.
Well, it's a very unique circumstance, Doug. I don't know where your surprise meter was when they were announcing host sites and then who was going to go where, because the baseball season can end so uniquely in a way, like the way that we decide who gets the regionals, who doesn't, whose season was up to hosting versus not. Like Oregon State, unfortunately, they're an independent, which I love. I love that they chose to do that. Schedule didn't end up helping them very much this year, as we saw from what the rollout was, whereas Oregon got to at least the Big Ten championship against UCLA. Just the unique nature of having Washington State, and I know Oregon State are the bigger headlines because they're in-state rivals, but having three of the four be Pac-12 foes, and Oregon State's played both of them this year, but having a former conference alignment kind of happen in Eugene, very unique and not something I would have thought would happen at the beginning of the year.
I agree. I wouldn't have either. And I will say that Coach Wasikowski for Oregon did say, I think rightly, that both teams deserve to host. I think Oregon State had a strong case to host. Oregon certainly did. But as I talk to you guys sitting here, pulled over in front of the Viking Inn in Junction City, which is unfortunately no more. This was a stopping point en route for many of us in charter flights and football over the years. We'd stop here for breakfast on way to the airport. It's gone. I don't know what to do about that. But I'm in their empty parking lot now. But you understand what, as Peter Sellers said about in the wrong box, do you realize the enormity of what you just said? Well, okay, here's... You realize that I'm telling you that I'm driving to a regional.
Now, right.
When the Beavers have been sent out for regionals, and they have, I've not driven to Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. I didn't drive to Baton Rouge either time. I didn't drive to Fort Worth twice or Dallas. I didn't drive to Lexington for a super regional. I will say that the geographical convenience of this one, and as you say, the composition of the teams, some old, better Pacific Northwest rivals in one place over a weekend. I like it. I like that part of it, even though I think the Beavers had a really good case to host. This isn't bad by comparison to some of the other regionals the Beavers have been sent on.
You know, if you're looking for something to eat and a nice individual to serve you some food, I think a guy that actually went to Oregon, coincidentally, but be very hospitable would be our guy Josh Wilcox, Mr. Junction City himself, if you're looking for a pit stop there.
Yeah, I mean, Josh is a great one. Yeah. Josh is a great one, no doubt. I don't see him on the streets, as I pass through Junction City, but I think if he saw me, that would be a nostalgic twinge. I think he'd probably take care of the old man.
Well, I mean, I guess we could start with the first game because you'd be on the call this afternoon. We got a noon start. You're getting ready to go down to Eugene. You're midway there already. Like Washington State, Oregon State played them a couple times. Just what's your thoughts on Washington State in the matchup going into that one?
Well, they're coming in. You know, most teams, if you're here, if you make it, you've done something. You know, and Washington State, what they did, they were 0-4 out of the gate. They played their first 19 games of the year on the road, and they were 7-12 at that point. And, you know, when you talk about it, if somebody would have told me the Beavers will play the Cougs later in a regional, I wouldn't have believed that. But they've won 7 of their last 8 weekend series. They've won 6 series in a row. They haven't done that since 1995. They have a pitcher today that the Beavers will have to deal with that's very good, a left-hander, Nick Lewis, the Mountain West Conference Pitcher of the Year, and is coming off an 11 strikeout, 8 2/3. I'm not sure why I couldn't get that final out, but he went 8 2/3 against Air Force in the last game of the tournament last weekend in Mesa, Arizona. So he's good, and they have 5 hitters in their starting lineup, all, you know, pretty robust numbers and hitting well above 300. So the Beavers are getting a good Washington State team. And you, as you said earlier, the Beavers and Cougs played each other twice in Pullman in early April. The Beavers won the first game 18-0. Okay, this is kind of nice. And then lost game 2, 7-6. So they split with Washington State. They split with Oregon. And if they end up playing Yale, they played Yale in the regional in 2017 when guys like Stephen Kwan and Adley Rutschman and Trevor Larnach were in the lineup, and the Beavers took care of Yale impressively. But, you know, we'll see what happens. To your point, it's a tough opener. Washington State is playing good baseball. The big difference, and I think this is – I don't think, you know, when we start going to – highlight shows and, you know, reels on social media, video highlights, fielding plays, unless they're spectacular catches, rarely make the cut. And talking of fielding percentage isn't necessarily going to win the day in most social circles. But let me tell you, the big difference today could be Washington State fielding percentage is .966. The Beavers are tied for first in the country at .985. Mm. There's a big gap there, and if it comes down to pitching and defense, and pitching's good, but one defense is better than the other, that could swing this ball game today.
Yeah, this is the voice of Oregon State Athletics, Mike Doc Parker, heading down right now to Eugene, the Eugene Regional. It's going to host Oregon State, Washington State. Oregon, obviously, is the host school. And then Yale has to fly over, the odd duck of the group. You're going to fly way over. I don't even know who's going to be there representing Yale in the stands. But one thing that we do know as Oregon State fan is the Oregon players note themselves, like, this is Goss South for them. When you look at the record-breaking attendance, it's when Oregon State mm-hmm. was there. There was a report that my co-host Dirt had said Oregon had to buy GA tickets so Oregon State fans wouldn't scoop them all up. And we'll see if the resale market is going to show us a lot of orange. They love playing down there, but Doc, they're looking for their third straight super regional advancement, but they haven't won on the road in a regional since 2007. I know it's not a similar situation of flying to a different place. They're just driving, it's a very odd situation where I think people are feeling good about their chances, but also it's been a while since they've been able to get out of this thing as a visiting team.
It's true. It's true, Doc. However, this year's team has played better on the road. I mean, I wanted the Beavers to play at home, certainly, but some of the mysterious, almost inexplicable, and as James Crepe of the Oregon Live wrote, inexcusable was the word he used. I mean, baseball can be its own excuse at times. It's a tough and odd game, as you all know, but their worst losses clearly were at home this year against teams you wonder with the RPI, UTRGV and others. How did you lose to that team? Well, baseball can have something to say about it, the game itself. So in that sense, though, the Beavers have played better. The win against Oregon was not at Goss. It was at PK Park, one of their better wins earlier in the year. So I think they feel okay about this draw and going on the road. It's different. This team has really thrived on the road at 15-2 this year. So I don't mind it, per se. I'd rather play them at home, but I think this is a very expedient draw for the Beavs. I think they're going to be in good shape. I think we're going to be talking about a super regional opportunity for the Beavs after this weekend.
Preview on Oregon, if we get to that point. I think everybody is hoping best-case scenario locally would be an Oregon State. Whoever wins this wins the regional thing. I think that'd be the most exciting, most fun. As I pointed out, the rivalry hasn't felt the same the last couple years in really anything, and so it's a very unique opportunity here. If we do get that, your thoughts, your general thoughts of Oregon, who's pitching in past regional history, it's not been great. Their offense has been fine. They're on fire right now from offense. Their pitching has been a little better as of late. They got this Milwaukee kid who hits 500-foot home runs. He's insane. Just your thoughts on Oregon in general if we get Oregon State to play for the Super Regional.
Well, I do think that's what we're going to get, and I think it's what the committee in creating this field was hoping to get. I think that is what's going to happen. They'll play each other maybe more than once during the weekend. And Oregon is really good, and to your point about the pitching, I mean, the offense has been mashing. They have a hitters-friendly ballpark. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in the George Horton era. I think just before the 22 season, fences were brought in some 10 to 15 feet. Oregon has been setting home run record after home run record. But as everybody also has talked about, the most impressive thing, not only just how they play, hit, their pitching has improved as the season has gone along significantly, but they're big. They're just a big physical group. Mm-hmm. Canzano, others I've read have talked about how they look like a football team rolling off a bus, and there is some truth in that. I mean, it's a very impressive, imposing, physical-looking group, and the Beavers have to – but the Beaver pitching has the second lowest ERA in the country, and they pitch well. They have depth in pitching starting middle and late. I think their good pitching can find a way, as the cliche goes, to beat a really good offensive club, and that's what I expect to happen if they do meet.
Do you like the 2014 playoff?
Listen, guys, I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of the playoff system at all.
Oh,
now, we've talked about it before. But there's a 32-team plan that a good friend, the inventor of Big League Chew, Rob Nelson, has been promulgating of late. I don't know if he's getting any traction on it. He invented Big League Chew with the late, great Jim Fountain, and he's done very well for himself. He's got a shrewd and sharp mind. He was a pitcher for the Portland Mavericks in the Portland Maverick Battered Bastards of Baseball era. I've gotten to know him kind of through that through the years. He's trying to get some traction for a 32-team plan. I'll forward you his plan. He's calling it the Portland plan because it was conceived in Portland. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
I don't like the playoff at all, but since we're in it and it, we ain't going any, we know we're not going to go back to the old way, then let's go 32. Forget the 24. Let's go 32 on the Rob Nelson Big League Chew Portland plan, and I'll send it to you.
Maybe we go Mike Leach. We go 64. We just do the NCAA tournament at this point. Last one for you, Doc, and I'll let you go because I know you need to hit the road. Life going all right for you? How you been? I haven't seen you in a long time. We haven't talked in a while. How's life?
I heard you reference that our textual exchange. When was the last one? It was
Yak.
So we must have been talking Beaver men's hoops.
Yeah,
a lot has happened since we last talked.
Yeah.
In terms of a new head football coach, basketball coach. But when you ask how life is, as I make my way into Eugene, they have these theaters downtown and the Metro Complex or whatever it is, are kind of independent theaters. I don't know what to make of this, but my daughter, who I'll see later today, my daughter Elle, I have two daughters, Lydia and Elle. Elle, for her 30th birthday, wants to rent out one of those little theaters, and you can do that, and then invite friends and play any movie of your choice.
Mm.
Now, I raised these wonderful, daughters of ours with films like Finding Nemo and El Dorado and The Sound of Music. My 30-year-old daughter wants to celebrate by watching No Country for Old Men. So I don't know if I took a dark turn or a path, or she did somewhere along the way. I like the film, but in terms of celebrating a birthday, I'm just not sure how gung-ho we're going to feel walking out of the Metro Theater after we watch No Country for Old Men again.
Yeah, Doc, I'll give you a bright side to this. You got to feel proud of that, dude. You have to fight through the Nemo days to get to the Old Country for No Men, and she chose that independently. Well, I think you raised a great human.
No, I should. You're right. You're right, Doc. I'm gonna finish my drive.
Yes.
From Junction City, looking for Wilcox, and thinking about what you just said, and hope to feel better about her choices.
Well, it's always great to catch up with you. You're one of our favorites out there. Have a great call, Doc. Enjoy the nostalgia if it ever hits you, and hopefully we get the Oregon State regional final. Have a good call, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Always appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
All right, there we go. Mike Doc Parker, the voice of Oregon State baseball, athletics in general, giving us a little peekaboo at the Eugene Regional, which is a fun local story for us. We're going to have that over the weekend, and we'll see what happens, man. First pitch is Oregon State, Washington State at noon, and then Oregon, Yale, and then got to sort out the losers, the winners. I just hope we get an Oregon, Oregon State, you know, for all the marbles game.
And we could get, if it goes all the way to a final game seven, where both teams that are left each have one loss.
Yeah.
That's on Monday.
Yeah, that would be a great scenario. Come in Monday and be like, hey, who's going to, what time would that pitch
they
be?
Don't, it depends on how many game sevens they have across all the
it
regionals.
It could be an earlier one, though, right?
So it might be at noon
or
1 o'clock or something like that.
I'll tell you right now, both teams get eliminated, and you got Washington State, Yale. No disrespect to the Cougs out there. I ain't watching. Good luck to you. I hope you win, but I ain't watching that. A lot to get to in the second hour. We had some college football beef pop up. Let's talk about that. Hour two rolls on. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan. Good stuff from Mike Doc Parker. Always nice to catch up with him as he makes his trek down to Eugene, Oregon for the Eugene Regional. Sounded pretty confident about Oregon State's chances to win. I know he is the voice of the Beavers, but
he is, but he...
He's usually pretty honest if he's like, I don't know about this one, Doc.
He said he expects them to... Yeah,
it's spicy.
Thinking about a regional.
It's spicy, man. Hopefully, we
I
get
hope
that.
It's spicy.
It is spicy.
Weather's supposed to be pretty ideal, not too hot, but dry.
Should be nice this weekend.
It should be great.
Looking forward to that. Let's get to college football. Got some college football notes here.
God, I loved when I saw this.
This is good. Okay, so this happened.
I so want it to happen.
This happened about a week ago, and we've talked about this guy, but I must have missed these quotes specifically. So at a Houston meeting for Texas, Steve Sarkisian, the touchdown club, he was in Houston last week. He met with officials at Texas, and he's doing kind of the coach rah-rah, you know, this is what our season is, our expectation type stuff, you know, giving those comments. And in it, he said, quote, there's a team in our state that plays in another conference that has a schedule that I would argue if I played with our twos and our threes, we could go undefeated, and they'll probably make the college football playoff this year. And people didn't have to really look very far to figure out who he's talking about.
No, there wasn't too much reading between the lines there.
There's a former high school Texas-based coach who's at this institution and has since done nothing but turn it around and give him a great reputation. That was Texas Tech. He was talking about Texas Tech, for those that couldn't figure that out. Joey McGuire and Texas Tech saw that. Oh, boy. They did not like those comments. Joey McGuire, quote, there's no way they're talking to us because Sark's a pretty tough guy. His teams are really tough, and I would think that if he was talking about us, he would call us out, right? Like, he wouldn't just say this kind of comment of, well, there's another team in our state. Well, I guess he was talking about us. And then he proceeded to take it a step further. Both Joey McGuire and the big billionaire booster who's trying to change legislation in college football, Cody Campbell, have both instituted a challenge.
There you go.
Steve Sarkisian in Texas, you guys are so big and bad, we will buy out Abilene Christian, and if you broke ass
and
is needed,
Texas
we'll buy
State,
out
I think.
Texas State, and let's play week one. We'll play at your place, you play at our place, and if you need to, we've already talked to Stephen Jones.
Yeah.
He'll host a neutral site game. They have instituted the challenge. And look, Texas is not going to do this because their schedule is really difficult.
Yes.
They're already in the SEC. But I effing loved this.
So
we will pay $5 to $6 million to shut your ass up and come prove it against us. Bring your twos and threes. We will win this.
You know,
I love this.
You can bring your ones, too.
We'll
beat them
this.
As well.
This is so juicy and good for the sport. And honestly, I'll give you this. I think sports, in some ways, I hate it. I gotta be honest with you guys. In some ways, I hate it. I think the media mixed with sports, it's becoming too wrestlery.
Yes.
Like, there's elements of it that I like. I like showmanship in games. I love a little FU energy in a game. But some of this, like, you know, the Stephen A's of the world, it's just a little too
gimmicky. But when
it's
the actual head coaches themselves.
Dude, we need this, and we need the games to actually, oh, really? Okay. And then buy out, Week
is
one,
the College Football Playoff Selection Committee watching this? Because I think the only way it happens is if one, well, Texas Tech should own the Big 12.
Yeah, I think going in, everybody has that kind of feel of like they should win the conference this year, assuming their quarterback is figured out.
True.
Which, by the way, I have to go. Let me double check something.
Yeah, he's going to need judicial help at this point. Because there was no way the NCAA...
Well, they're not going to do this game. This game's not going to happen.
Well, not...
Isn't it easier to say this knowing it's not going to happen than thinking it's actually happening? They're not paying...
True.
$6 million. This is not going to happen.
Oh, Campbell will write that check.
I'm like, not saying they wouldn't. Campbell is literally saying,
there's no
I
way,
will write the check now. We
there's
will buy
no way
that
Texas
game
does
out.
This.
Texas is not going to do this. And look, they're going to get accused of being soft and, oh, the loud talkers who can't back it. In reality, their schedule is really difficult. They don't want another incredibly challenging game on the schedule. It's not the year for it. But I would love if this ever happened and another coach was like, okay, you want to buy it out? We'll buy it out. Let's do it. Like, we had this during COVID. It was one of the rare wins we got during COVID. You remember the Coastal Carolina BYU game? Because they were trying to figure out who was going to be, like, the lead independent team at that point. Because I think BYU was, were they in the Mountain West? I think they were independent at that point.
Yeah.
And Coastal Carolina was having a moment. And they just settled, like, a week out. They're like, we're going to play. And they played the game. So I went and looked it up. So here's an interesting little side development, okay? There was something that I saw on On3, and it's really gross, but it's not surprising in this day and age of college football. There was a report from On3. UCLA has a redshirt quarterback named Carson Gordon, okay? Not a name you all know out there. I certainly am not going to pretend I knew who he was. He entered the transfer portal window, and you might be saying, oh, window? The window is closed. He's transferring as a track athlete, but everybody is speculating.
It's for football.
It's for football. So they're wondering if he found the loophole, and guess the program that he might be going to.
Lubbock.
What's a program that might be losing their starting quarterback?
Yeah, we might have a roster spot.
We don't know if it is. I don't believe he has announced where he's transferring as a quote-unquote track athlete who's also going to play football. But there's a development there. I don't even know who's going to start for Texas Tech. It might be a guy that's already been established that we've seen. It might be Sorsby because of some random judge ruling. But it's all fascinating. And this yesterday came out. And I just love the idea of it. I wish this happened more. There are fake wrestling adjacent stuff about sports I don't like, but this in particular is something that I love. The drop the gloves, the hell you will, let's just do this. Yeah. Like, Texas won't, but I thought this was a fantastic story.
Yep. And like I said, if Texas can navigate its schedule and find a way as an at-large team, I don't see them winning the SEC this year.
I mean, I don't know. Do you know if Arch is going to be amazing?
Maybe.
Who do you have winning the SEC? Because I have no idea. Do you have Georgia?
I mean,
Oklahoma's bringing a lot back.
Oklahoma's got a lot back. We'll see how Lane does with LSU.
But I think this is kind of my point, is like their schedule's incredibly difficult. They have Ohio State. They have to go on the road in Tennessee in September. They have the Oklahoma game. They're at Florida. Summerall's now jumped into this fray.
At LSU, Missouri, at Texas A&M.
Dude, like, there's not a lot of super easy games looking in.
No, I don't know what Mississippi State's working with. You don't know. Arkansas is starting over.
Yeah, but A&M's good. Yeah. I assume LSU and Lane will be good.
I don't know how much Drinkwitz has left at Missouri.
I love Summerall. I thought that was a great hire by Florida, but we've said that about Florida before, and it's not panned out in a while. So we'll have to wait and see on some of this. And Florida, by the way, beat them last year. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's more about, like, they're already in a tough spot schedule-wise, but they're sitting in a position where they could win the SEC. And I know that's a non-conference game against Texas Tech. But the last thing you want is to jeopardize having potentially two losses in the non-conference season.
No, but if Texas Tech wins the Big 12 or something, they're a 5 seed and Texas gets in as the 12 or something.
Now you're talking. If we get a playoff matchup at the end of this thing, Yes, injected into my
veins.
The
playoff committee has to see if Texas is actually worthy of being in the field. Can they rig this so that's your...
That's where I wish they would be a little more WWE-ish.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when we went into it last year, we were talking about
hosting. If Texas is an 11 or a 12 seed, who really cares? It's about the matchup and...
Like, I wanted Mario and Oregon to play.
Yeah.
I wanted that bracket to shake out that way, and we didn't get it. But, like, I wish they would kind... If you're talking about the difference between an 8 and 9, and you can argue about it, certainly.
Yeah, who cares?
Tweak it. Give me the matchups you know we all want. Yes,
yes,
sell it.
This is all about, once we get to this point, because whoever in a 12-team playoff, whoever you have to play, you're going to have to play beat three good teams in a row.
Exactly.
So...
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Like, there's elements I don't like about sports now, but this is an element I love. Give us what we want.
So I'm hoping Texas has enough wins and enough good wins that they're worthy of being in. I don't want to see them slide in.
Do you think they beat Ohio State in Texas?
I don't know. I'm not a Saiyan fan like everybody else.
I'm not either, and it's at Texas, and they damn near won it last year at the Shoe.
It really is. This season for them really is all about, can Arch Manning be the Heisman candidate that everybody expects him to be and elevate them to an elite level?
Let me ask you this before we go. If you're a Texas fan and this story's popping up yesterday, are you wanting the game? Because I think as a sports fan, I don't even care about this. I want it. We challenged you. We called you out subliminally. You picked up on it, and now you have called us out, like, all the way. You're going to buy $6 million buyouts for us? I kind of want this to happen if I'm a Texas fan.
Yeah, and it would be great to do it in Jarrah's world. I also want to know, because I feel like this is kind of it for Sark, too.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Why do you feel that way? His buyout be insane?
It's Texas. Don't they have the most money of any program, any athletic program? They have the most revenue, I believe.
I think they have the most revenue. I don't know about the pockets being the deepest, but they're certainly in the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to shoot your mouth off as a head coach, which, you know, a lot of programs enjoy, and he's very Steve Spurrier-esque with this, which is great. We need more of that. But you better back it up. Like, I want to find out if you're really...
So if they don't make the playoff, you think he's fired?
I think so.
I don't know, man.
I think the fan base will...
I think given the financial circumstance, I'm not really convinced on it. Did you see what Greg Byrne said? He talked the other day about locking up
DeBoer?
DeBoer. Thank you. And he basically was like, we're just going to bank more on stability than being reactionary to things. Like, allow stuff to grow and to suck and to get great, and, like, don't just overreact. And I know Texas is not Alabama in this, but I thought that was an interesting perspective of, like, how many other programs might end up taking that approach instead of paying $90 million, $80 million, $70 million buyout. Florida State's kind of done it. If they were going to fire him, you would have thought last year was going to be it, right? But the Jimbo Fisher fiasco of him ditching and go to A&M, all of that experience was tough. They had the Willie Taggart buyout.
Yeah, I think what will determine that is if any sort of federal legislation gets done and college football does have a salary cap on what they're spending on players. Because I think that's more of, if we have to load up the Brinks truck for players every year, and that number keeps escalating at ridiculous pace, no, we can't afford all of these buyouts. We can't be, you know, shoveling it out the front door and have to shovel it out the back door too.
Yeah, I agree.
If they get a cap, if they get a system that allows them to put a cap on it, then, yeah, they'll go back to buying out coaches.
A really fun back and forth with in-state teams between Texas Tech and Texas. Sark barking at them. They barked back. They'll buy out anything to play the game. I think it'd be great for the sport, but I would never bank that it's going to happen. It just doesn't make any sense for Texas' schedule. We have a lot more to get into. Bill Orme's going to join us at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague. We're back with more on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan. Hey, Sprague here, hanging around for our great friends, Trajan Wealth. Planning for your financial future shouldn't feel overwhelming. With Trajan Wealth, it won't. Trajan Wealth's a fiduciary firm, family-owned and veteran-led. They're not just advisors. They have the heart of a teacher walking through every step of the way. T-R-A-J-A-N, wealth.com. If you're wondering if your retirement plan is on the right track, now's the time to find out. Trajan Wealth offers complimentary consultations to make sure you feel confident in your financial future. Call 1-855-TRAJAN-1 or visit T-R-A-J-A-N-Wealth.com. That's T-R-A-J-A-N-Wealth.com. From rolling over the old 401k to high-yield savings account and custom-designed portfolios, Trajan Wealth creates a plan that works for you. Don't wait for uncertainty. Take control today. Remember, when you succeed, they succeed. When you make more money, they make more money. Call them right now, 1-855-TRAJAN-1, or visit TRAJANWealth.com now to schedule a free consultation. Advisory services through Trajan Wealth LLC, SEC Registered Investment Advisor, additional services through Trajan Estate and Trajan Tax, actual client, paid advertisement, additional disclosures at TrajanWealth.com. Well, Mr. Move the Team himself, Bill Orme's going to join us coming up here at the top of the hour. Get his thoughts. He went to Carolina, did some interesting reporting over there in Carolina for the Hurricanes and talked to the fans that were just like Ric Flair and
talked
got
to the
lowdown.
Caniacs, as they're known.
Is that what they call themselves?
The Caniacs.
They're loving what's going on right now. Hard to
Yeah, they got a chance to close it out tonight.
Yeah, they go to the Stanley Cup. And so we'll talk with Bill Orme coming up at 8. Chris Haynes popped up into the news cycle yesterday.
Oh, what did our good friend, former friend of the program, Chris Haynes?
Yeah, I ruined that relationship, sadly. And I actually worked with Chris Haynes when I was at Comcast.
I always got along great with Chris.
Back and forth. I'm not anti-Chris Haynes. I just accidentally text him trying to get Chris Mannix on the show. Yeah. It's like if I would have texted you looking for a different Jason to be on my show. Like, hey, Jason?
Yeah.
Well, wrong Jason.
Jason Minix.
He popped up in the Giannis Blazer conversation yesterday.
Oh.
And so we'll play some of that audio in the third hour of the radio program. And then we'll talk with Nick Krupke coming up at 9 a.m. We talked with Doc Parker, and we've talked some college football with Steve Sarkisian, Texas, and Texas Tech challenging one another. But Texas ultimately will bow out. Something baseball related that I didn't get to yesterday.
Baseball stuff!
It was in the Magic Hat, and it was right up your alley. And it's a Dodger dog, is what I had as the Magic Hat topic.
Gotcha.
So one of the Dodgers' minor league affiliates is in Tulsa.
Their double-A affiliate, the Tulsa Drillers.
The Tulsa Drillers, thank you. So they had a really interesting story happen to them a couple days ago, which is why I put it in the Magic Hat. So in the middle of a Tulsa Drillers game, there is a base runner named Kendall George. He's one of their prospects. He's one of the top prospects, Kendall George. He was rounding third, and he scored. Okay, now he was the number 13 prospect and a 2023 first-round draft pick. So this cat has a lot of expectations.
Yes.
All right? He comes around third, and he scores. And he's, like, full-on sprinting.
Move.
He's moving. And as he is still kind of running, but he slows down, he gets to the dugout, all of a sudden, bam, he's taken out around the knee by the Tulsa Drillers' bat dog.
Well, he's not taken out. The dog comes out, and he jumps to avoid the dog.
He kind of hits the foot, and the foot kind of gets tweaked a little bit with
the knee. And so then he lands funky on his
knee.
And
he starts hopping, and then he slams his helmet off his head because he knows he's hurt. He's pissed off. And now because of this,
they suspended the bat dog.
They have suspended the bat dog program. And I haven't seen an update on Kendall George's knee injury.
They think it's not as severe as was first feared.
I think he, in his mind, was thinking ACL or something awful.
So I think it's more a strained patellar tendon or something like that.
Which is good, but not good in the the video, the bat dog sprinting out, and he's just being a good boy.
Yeah.
He's just being a good boy.
These are trained. There's other minor league teams that have a similar program. They're trained. It's not like just, you know, the team owner's bringing his pet, you know.
No, this is a pretty frequent thing. Yeah. This has happened
there's
in sports
several,
for a while.
Several different minor league teams that have a bat dog program.
I can't even really blame the dog here. I'm more like,
no.
I think I'm more talking to my guys. I'm like, guys, this dog's going to sprint out to grab that bat. Don't beeline right to the entryway of the dugout. Kind of go at a weird angle and then kind of slowly walk in as the dog makes his way out. I'm not blaming Kendall George, but I kind of am because I love dogs.
Yeah.
And I'm sad that they're going to suspend the program because he got hurt, but I thought it was funny because it was your prospect.
Yeah. Well, Dodger prospects are important because that's what they use at the trade deadline to go get another all-star because of the injured starting pitchers that they have right now.
Who you're then going to sign for maybe $1,000 and then pay him $30 million at the back end of that deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why it's important for the Dodgers.
This is in the conversation of all-time dumb injuries.
Yeah.
A dog running into the bottom of your foot as you try to lift up and then you tweak your knee.
When I first saw it and I was like, oh my God, did the dog go out early and he like ran into him at home plate or something? But it was not the case. I don't even know if he made contact. I mean, the dog kind of surprised him, I think. I think they will, because I believe there's handlers or somebody in the dugout that's there to take care of the dog.
Yes.
So they'll just have to review the protocols and, you know, wait before they send the dog out to get the bat. The biggest problem with that is the institution of the clock, the pitch clock. So not only is there a pitch clock, but if you go to games and minor league games and you'll see there's also a 30-second clock that starts in between. So when the play is, quote, dead on the field and the next batter is coming up, there's a 30-second clock that starts that they before the next batter has to be ready to go.
Yeah, so the dog is doing the right thing to get out in and out of the situation.
Exactly,
yeah.
But you might have to send him out a little sooner than rather than waiting till the entire play finishes and the guy gets out of the way. So, yeah, there's a few things that they got to figure out.
It'd be very interesting to find out if Kendall George hates dogs.
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
The way he slammed his helmet looked like a guy who hates dogs.
Yeah.
Not like hates dogs in the goes out of his way to hate them, but more like, I'm good. I don't need a dog. Not a big dog guy. I could be wrong on that, and he could end up having his own dog. But it'd be very interesting to find out if he did, because the way he slammed his helmet was, these damn animals! Is kind of how it felt to me watching it. But I thought it was a really fascinating story because how often, I mean, we know that bat dogs have been a thing. You don't see them get somebody injured all that often, and then it ends up being one of the top prospects, to your point, that they're probably going to trade at some point. It's just a funny-looking video, but unfortunate for Kendall George. I think he's going to be out with a knee injury, and they have suspended the dog bat program in Tulsa.
I hope it's temporary, that they'll just kind of review the protocols and...
Yeah, you make the dog wait a split second longer.
Okay. Who's ever handling or in charge of the dog in the dugout, it's like, hey, you got to wait until here.
Clear. Like, that's all you need. You just need a clear guy. A lot to get to in the third and the fourth hour of the radio program. We're going to talk Blazers. Chris Haynes, is he teasing us? Is Giannis going to – does he want to come to Portland?
Blazer fans can't be teased like this. I don't know.
Oh, really? Because I feel like Blazer fans are actually majority out on it.
Oh.
We can't do that.
I think it's just I think that's years of scar tissue of being teased.
Yeah, I also told somebody, I'm like, I kind of want him to be traded here because admittedly it'd be one of the cooler things ever to see him in a Blazer uniform. I remember going to a Blazer game when Scotty was a Blazer. Surreal. It felt like it wasn't real seeing him in the white jersey as I was in the 100 section. Couldn't believe it. So we'll bring that audio to you in the third hour of the radio program. We kick it off, though, with Mr. Move the Team himself, the guy who keeps telling us they're moving. And he just went to Carolina. He's written a lot about Tom Dundon. Talk with our good guy, Bill Orem, OregonLive.com. Hour number 3, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, The Fan.